Correct. I'm so glad you're asking me this question because we need more awareness of male fertility. So male are 50% of the equation, no more, no less. So I would love, love, love to have more involvement from the male side. My program is inclusive and it's a couple approach. We even have modules that are specifically for male factor. Reality is that typically the person that talks to me on a daily basis is the woman. And I would love for the men to be more involved. Reality is that it's one of these battles that I'm fighting every day. Fighting is a big word, but like that, I am kind of like chasing every day because there's a lot of stigma around male fertility in the sense that it somewhat questions masculinity. And that's not something that I made up, that's something that's societal. We're dealing up with that. So I always try to get creative around how I can get through to males and to men, to the male part of a couple, without them feeling that they need to get defensive or that some of their masculinity is being questioned or minimized or whatnot.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversations Podcast, a podcast about having easy conversations. I'm your host, Furkan Dandia. This week's episode, I welcome Sonia Ribas, fertility transformation expert and founder of The Fertility Solution. And we discuss how couples can support fertility through a whole body approach that addresses nutrition, hormones, stress, nervous system regulation, relationships, and emotional well-being. Fertility is something that I see being a challenge for many, many people, and it can be something that people are dealing with in isolation or quietly experiencing shame. So I felt that the topic of this episode was relevant, and it allowed me to cover a lot of material with Sonia. Rather than focusing solely on reproductive health, Sonia also explains how fertility is influenced by nearly every aspect of our lives, from sleep and movement to communication, mindset, and the way chronic stress affects the body. We also explore often overlooked part of the conversation, why men play an equally important role in fertility and why reducing shame around fertility challenges is essential for both partners. So this episode is jam-packed with a lot of information that can help people. Sonia Ribas is a fertility transformation expert, certified health coach, yoga and meditation teacher, and founder of The Fertility Solution. For more than 15 years, she has helped women and couples around the world optimize fertility through a research-backed whole-body approach focused on inflammation, hormones, metabolism, nervous system regulation, and lifestyle. Please check out all the ways you can find Sonia online, including her website, thefertilitysolution.com. And before we jump into the episode, a quick reminder that the contents of this podcast are for information and educational purposes only. There's no affiliation with my therapeutic practice, and listening to the episode does not establish a therapeutic relationship. If you do require support, please reach out to a licensed professional. Let's just jump into the episode now. Sonia, welcome to Easy Conversations. I really appreciate you taking the time to join me today and talk about something really important. I think there's more focus on fertility nowadays, and obviously there's an impact to people's mental health. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of anxiety. I see it with a lot of my clients I work with too, in terms of how they're navigating this journey. So hopefully we can perhaps talk about it and reduce some of the stigma, but even give some things that people can walk away with in terms of things they can think about and focus on. So before we jump into that discussion, I also want to give you an opportunity to share a little bit about yourself with us today.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me. So I'm the founder of The Fertility Solution. I've been for 16 years now, I've been helping women and couples optimize fertility naturally. We have helped welcome more than 700 babies. Wow. And I'm known for a research-backed holistic approach that looks beyond symptoms and diagnosis.
Okay. Simple enough. So how does one get into this work for you, or what got you into this space?
So yeah, sometimes like I think in life you find and you pursue things and sometimes or careers and sometimes things find you. In this case, fertility found me. So I had three careers. In the first career, it was a corporate career. I was a marketing manager for big multinational companies. Then I had a second career where I owned a yoga company. And while I was in that career, a yoga client came to me. She was from India and she went back to her country and she called me and she said, my doctor's telling me that I won't be able to have kids and I'm devastated. And I was like, oh my God, that sounds awful. I'm so sorry. And she said, can you help me? And I was like, I know a lot about yoga. I know about, you know, healthy lifestyle, but I know nothing about fertility. At that time I was, you know, young, three kids. And she said, you're the only person I trust. And those words completely changed my life. So I started researching like crazy. I teamed up with my mother, who's a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner in Spain. And we were just helping a friend, truly. Like we came up with a holistic kind of program for her that included diet, that included yoga, meditation, herbs, lots of mindsets of affirmations, like all the things that we could find that could help her. And not only did she get pregnant, but her labs improved a lot. And her OBGYN was so impressed that she started referring people my way. Wow. So I was just helping out, like truly, like, you know, I didn't even consider that would be a career. Then at some point, just doing two jobs, I got certified as a health coach, a bunch of certificates followed, you know, on medicine, hormones, pregnancy, and so on. And then at some point, I thought I need to choose. Like, I can't do both. I can't have a full-time yoga company and be a fertility coach on the side. So an opportunity came, like the universe sent me the opportunity to sell my yoga business to my competitors, which I did. And then since then, I've been a full-time fertility and pregnancy coach. It's been 16 years.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And you obviously went through some of your own adversity over the years and through it all. So are you able to shed some light on that as much as you'd like? And how did that help you further in going on this path?
Yes. So being truly transparent, I did not have fertility issues myself, even though when I decided to have kids, I applied everything that I knew. And that's how I actually perfected my program because I went through it three times myself. But I've had other challenges in my life. I went through a super high conflict divorce 5.5 years ago. We're still actually, it's very litigious, so we're still in it. I remember, like, obviously it's been a while, but as I was going through the quote-unquote drama, I remember my clients who were there with me at that time, they were telling me, you're becoming a better coach because of this. You are becoming more relatable. And going through adversity, going through periods where there's so much uncertainty and so much at stake made me a better coach in the sense that I could totally have so much more empathy for my clients, for the loss, for the grief, for the ups and downs, for the obstacles, for the naysayers, for the uncertainty, for the waking up in the morning and exactly knowing what it is to have that weight on your shoulders of like this massive thing that I need to overcome in order to get to where I want to be, right? So, you know, like sometimes you go through challenges and difficult journeys in life that will help you in so many other ways that you're at the moment, you're just not thinking, right? So the feedback that I got is like, oh my God, you're just so much more human. Like you feel like a peer instead of an authority. You feel like a peer right now. And all my clients at that time thought like you're becoming such a much better coach because of that, which was interesting feedback.
Yeah, I think the empathy piece is huge, right? Yeah. And experience that too, because I feel personally as you were sharing that, what was coming up for me was the adversity almost humbles you in a way where you can kind of meet people where they are. It's
kind of reduces that separation, and unfortunately has to happen that way. I'm sure people find other ways of being able to find that level of humility. At least that's what it's been like for me. Mm-hmm. But I guess the other challenge, because going through a similar process as you're describing yours, how did you stay grounded and present for your clients? Because I know for me, it was tough at times to truly keep myself in the moment, because there's so much stress, so many things to do. You're angry, you're upset, you're frustrated, you feel hopeless, you feel discouraged, all of that, right? There's so many emotions that come with something like that. So how do you continue to stay grounded in yourself?
Mm-hmm. So with myself, I've always had my non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. And the non-negotiables are the actionables that I commit to every day of my life, or almost every day of my life, especially when life is hard. Not when life is easy, but especially when life is hard. For me, one of them is movement. I move my body every day of my life. That keeps me grounded. That keeps my hormones, my feel-good hormones going. I am a firm believer that movement is therapy and is a lot of things in one go. I've always committed to, I call it activations. I don't call it workouts. I call it activations. I'm also a certified yoga teacher. I always have like some movement in my life, and that has kept me somewhat grounded. Another thing that is a no matter what is vegetables. Like I'm an omnivore, but I eat a mostly plant-based diet every day of my life. I avoid processed foods. That doesn't mean I'm perfect, but I know for myself that when I eat real food, I'm just so much better. I can think better. I can operate better. I can recognize myself better. So those two have kind of like been my anchors, especially when life is difficult. I've always stayed very connected to my true actionables. And maybe the third one is community. I think we're wired for connection as human beings. Yes. Even though I consider myself an introvert, I do have a good community of people around me. I have, a very strong family, very strong group of friends. I call them chosen family. Yes. My clients are also, in a way, my family. There was a lot of times during those times that my clients were giving me the hug and holding me through the process. And the fact that I could focus on them was also helping me in turn to disconnect from my drama and disconnect from my pain, to focus on helping them as well. So community, eating well, eating real food, mostly veggies, and movement every day, I think that has kept me sane.
I appreciate that. And it's so interesting, right? When we are able to serve others, it kind of allows us to find, not that the grief or the pain or the emotions need to be minimized, it just allows us to shift our perspective a little bit when we're focused on serving others. So I really like that in terms of how it's helped you as well. And based on the lifestyle you're describing that you have chosen to live, and you choose to live every day, probably a good segue into what are some things people need to focus on with fertility? Because you were talking about right at the beginning, when you helped one of your yoga clients or students with a plan, a lot of the focus was on that healthy living. So, because nowadays we hear a lot of problems around fertility in general, right? A lot of people having challenges. Do you feel that that's become increasingly an issue? Or, I mean, obviously you've done some research. So over the years, what's going on with fertility? What have you observed?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's a number of things happening in the fertility world. One of them is that we wait longer to have children. In the past, we had children earlier, and age is an important factor when it comes to fertility, no matter what. Then another thing is that the life we have, especially in our country, in the United States, well, let's call it the Western societies, is just very out of sync with our regional state. And you know, like, for example, the way we eat or the way most people eat is completely not the way we are meant to fuel ourselves as human beings. I always use the analogy of a car. If you have a car that is a gasoline car and you keep feeding it diesel, even if you love diesel, the motor is going to complain to you and at some point it's going to stop working. Even if you love diesel and it's super tasty and super delicious. So a lot of people just are used to putting things in their body that are just not good for them and they don't even know it because that's what everyone around them does. Eating properly is something that, you know, is a basic, but I see that I need to educate people a lot on how to eat, how to fuel your body. Another thing that I see a lot that we are very disconnected from a natural state is circadian rhythms, because we have artificial light and we have technologies that keep us up. We go to bed really late and we sleep very few hours nowadays. And we are meant as human beings, as other animals, we are meant to be awake when the sun is out and we are meant to be asleep early when the sun sets. And I see so many women and so many couples that go to bed at 1 a.m., at 2 a.m. That's completely like out of like super unnatural. I have a client in New York actually who didn't believe me when she started working with me. She used to go to bed at 2 a.m. And I said, if we fix your circadian rhythms, you'll get pregnant. She didn't believe me. She pushed back so much. She resisted me so much. At the end, she was preparing for IVF. She had nothing to lose anymore. So she said, okay, I'm going to try what you're telling me. But I'm a night owl. She was kind of like protecting her identity of a night owl. And I said, don't do it for me. Do it for you and do it for your why, which is your baby and the family you want to have. She changed her bedtime to 11 p.m., which to me is already late. But, you know, that's as far as we got. And she got pregnant. She didn't even make it to IVF. She got pregnant before. So that's as like how powerful circadian rhythms can be. Another thing that I see a lot is that a lot of people are very sedentary, you know, like especially with technologies. Like nowadays, if you work from home and your job is tech, like you don't really have a reason to leave your house. Like a lot of your needs are being met with your devices and Amazon ships everything to your house. Like you really don't need to go anywhere. And a lot of people are just complete kind of like sedentaries. I mean, the list goes on. I have a very, very comprehensive program where essentially I meet the couples where they are and the individuals, and I upgrade their and optimize their fertility from every possible angle, physical layer, but also mental layer, emotional layer, energetic layer, and spiritual layer. So we cover everything from nutrition, supplements, hydration, movement, weight management, also thoughts, your inner dialogue, your emotions, because that matters a ton. The toxins that you're exposed to in daily life, your sex drive, your libido, your communication, the toxic relationships that you need to manage better. Like it's very personalized, so everybody needs different kinds of help. But I look at the individual as much more than reproductive organs and more like a holistic kind of like this ecosystem approach.
No, I appreciate that, because that's all of these areas that you're touching on are the areas I also like to focus on in the mental health space, because as you can appreciate, sleep, diet, exercise, these are all choices we make that can improve our mental health or make things worse, right? So I align with you a lot. I am curious, how does the spiritual piece fit into this? Or you're just looking at the whole person as you shared, because that's something always I get excited about, because I see so much value in finding meaning. And sometimes even in conversations with clients that are struggling to find acceptance that I can't procreate or I can't have a child, there's meaning making or acceptance in that that can bring peace. And sometimes it works, but I'm curious how that fits into your work.
Yeah. So we're just saying that my work is highly personalized and the spiritual side of things are very personalized. Like not everybody is willing and able and excited to have every conversation, right? Like I think everybody is willing to talk about nutrition, but not everybody is willing to talk about spirituality. Also, I work with people from all over the world, all religions. So I'm very inclusive and I'm very respectful of, you know, everyone's views and everyone's spirituality. So the answer to that is like some people really want to have these conversations. We've gone as far as to talk about spirit babies, which is the most, one of the most spiritual things you can talk about in infertility. And I even referred them out to people who specialize in talking to spirit babies. Whether you believe in that or not, that's a different thing. But like some people really, really, really want to go in the direction of like, you know, like as spiritual this can get. Some people, for some people, the religious side of things resonate the most in terms of like, God wants me to have babies and God's giving me the resources through me to understand what I need to do to show up for God to have a baby. Or like, you know, everybody's got their version of that, and I'm very respectful. So the answer to that is it's incredibly personalized. Some people, we talk very much kind of like ground level, very very physical. And for some people, we elevate it all the way to spiritual conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can appreciate that. So what about then when people are struggling to like with fertility, how do they look at it differently then?
From with that spirituality standpoint? And fertility? So it depends on where they come from, what their beliefs are, what their religion is, whether, you know, the angle with which we will approach it. So if there will, it's very difficult to generalize. It's a one by one conversation. Yeah. Like I meet them where they are in their beliefs, and then with their framing, with what's making sense for them, we work on that and we work on expanding from there. And making sure that what they do and what they believe in their daily life reflects their true values and reflects what they want.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And some of the lifestyle changes you were talking about earlier in terms of some of the problems we're seeing, is that applicable to both men and women, or is it especially focused on women because they're the ones who are getting pregnant? But I would assume it would be for both, right? It just increases your chances.
Correct. I'm so glad you're asking me this question because we need more awareness of male fertility. So male are, you know, 50% of the equation, no more, no less. So I would love, love, love to have more involvement from the male side. My program is inclusive and it's a couple approach. We even have modules that are specifically for male factor. Reality is that typically the person that talks to me on a daily basis is the woman. And I would love for the men to be more involved. Reality is that it's one of these battles that I'm fighting every day. Fighting is a big word, but like that I am kind of like chasing every day because there's a lot of stigma around male fertility in the sense that it somewhat questions masculinity. And that's not something that I made up. That's something that's societal. We're dealing up with that. So I always try to get creative around how I can get through to males and to men, you know, to men, to the male part of a couple without them feeling that they need to get defensive or that some of their masculinity is being questioned or minimized or whatnot. So I'm very delicate around that. I try to stay very physical when in my conversations with men. That tends to work better. So it's like, here's what you need to eat. Here's what your do's, your don'ts. Try to do more of these, try to do more of that. We try to get them tested so that way they can see for themselves if there's room for improvement. And I try to get them involved as much as I can. But the reality is that the woman's typically the person that shows up in front of me.
Yeah. So what you're identifying here is obviously it needs to be a bit more inclusive. It's just not one person's responsibility for sure. But you touched on something important there, and that's something you and I had also identified, is the impact of shame. So the shame that comes up, right? Whether you're male or female in the relationship, it can affect both people differently, but it doesn't minimize the impact of shame. So how do you, well, first of all, I guess, how does that come up in some of the work you're doing and what you're seeing? And then how you help them navigate that shame piece, if at all, if you get involved in that?
Yeah, I'm so happy we're talking about this. We have so much shame in our society for everything. There's so much, like we attach our self-worth to everything. So one of the things that I highlight all the time is like your self-worth is not negotiated here. Your self-worth is not negotiated with the outside world. Your ability to get pregnant or not is not touching your self-worth at all. Like you are enough. You're amazing as a person. And your self-worth is not negotiated with anyone in the outside world or your ability to do this or not. And that's something we talk a lot. And it's very refreshing for people to hear that because it's the very first time they hear it. And fertility is such a primal kind of like need, you know, like reproduction is such a primal thing that a lot of people think, well, if I cannot do that, then I'm, you know, I'm worthless, especially women think that way. So there's a lot of conversations about defining your identity. Who were you before all this? Connecting to that identity. And then of course we're still like showing up for to optimize your chances to get pregnant naturally or whatever, however it is, but your identity needs to be protected and refreshed. Like you need to refresh it to yourself who you are outside of this huge drama. We try, one of the things that I try to teach is something that I learned through my divorce, which is compartmentalizing, right? So your life, your identity is intact and completely protected. And yeah, on the side, you're also trying to get pregnant. And there's a lot of things that you're doing on that front to optimize your health and to optimize your chances. But we have what we call worrying hours, and we don't worry outside of worrying hours, for example. Okay. So everybody needs to pick what your worrying hours are. Say your worrying hours are like from 5 to 8. So from 5 to 8, you guys are allowed to talk about fertility. You guys are allowed to worry. You guys are allowed to strategize. Anything outside of that time, you're still showing up for your actionables, but you're not thinking that way. You're not allowing yourself to be a 24/7 fertility thinking brain, because that's totally detrimental. So that's something we do. A lot of the work we do as well is nervous system work, which is also tied to subconscious mind, because your reality is a reflection of what you truly believe in your subconscious mind. It's not a reflection of what you say, and it's not a reflection of the cognitive mind. So a lot of the work that we do is at a subconscious level. What are your limiting beliefs at your core that you may or may not be aware of? Let's just bring them out. Let's work on them so that we can dilute them, or we can rephrase them or reframe them so that they set you free. Because otherwise, you are a slave to your own limiting beliefs. And something we work on a lot is the awareness that your subconscious mind, which is ultimately what's going to decide if you get pregnant or not, is the whole time scanning your environment, internal and external environment. And it's the whole time scanning if you are safe enough and if you have enough resources. The whole time. And in today's world, we are always in fight or flight. And if you are in fight or flight, your subconscious mind is interpreting as if you are in danger, and therefore it's protecting you. So fertility challenges is a protection of your body, protecting your survival, because it interprets that you don't have enough bandwidth to take care of yourself and to host a new life. So when in doubt, it will only prioritize the body functions that are essential for your survival, which means that reproduction is an optional function because it's not essential for your survival. It's what we call a luxury function.
And I definitely want to come back to the nervous system piece because there's more to explore. Sticking on the shame side still, because I feel it can, for obvious reasons, for everything we've touched on, when there are fertility challenges, it can also have a significant impact on the relationship because each person might be blaming themselves. They might be blaming the other person. It's stressful, right? Which is something I want to touch on too. Now, there is the option of IVF as well, but that can be costly. That puts another strain on the relationship. So we'll definitely talk about that. But as far as a relationship goes, what are key things you're highlighting to the families you're working with in terms of keeping some things in mind as far as the relationship container goes?
I love that question. So we work a lot on communication skills because that's one of the things that I see as well, that we don't have communication skills. Mm-hmm. We don't know how to communicate. We are, in a way, I hate the word, but we are all very immature in that way. Like, I started thinking about relationship skills in my 40s. Like, I didn't even know that that was a thing. For example, active listening is something we practice. Like, nobody knows active listening. Like, active listening looks like not only am I listening to what you're saying, but I'm actually mirroring it back to you so that I'm showing to you that I got what you are saying, that I integrated it and I validate it. So I tell you, I can see how you feel X, Y, Z, and I can see how what I did made you feel this way. This layer of validation is something acquired. Like, nobody knows that. Like, it's not taught. And maybe today it's, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's very new to everyone whenever I introduce that, that layer. So active listening includes I validate what you're saying. And then I say, I can see how I, you know, I empathize with that. You're not crazy. I understand where you are. And here's what I can do next time, or here's how I can help, or here's how I can change what I, my behavior so that next time it doesn't happen again. And at the same time, what you did made me feel X, Y, Z, and here's what we can do better next time. So we practice a lot of that. Actually, a lot of the sessions we do are couple sessions, because sometimes like we think, oh, you're in a fertility program, you're only going to talk about fertility. But the reality is that your whole life affects your fertility. So we end up talking about, we end up going kind of like a little bit off topic to help real life situations that are, you know, where a couple is stuck and they need that help so that in turn they can help their fertility, right? So we do a lot of couple sessions. But yeah, communication skills is something that we improve a lot. Also, we have some time, some space, what we were saying, compartmentalization. So we have some time and some space where we go there and we worry and we strategize, and we have a lot of times where we block that time to be ourselves, to be the person we were when we met before all this drama. Go to the movies, go date yourself, flirt, connect with yourself. Also, like, have, you know, like, have sexy time without it needing to be only baby making. Like, have romance, have a rapport that's completely, completely away from the drama of we need to create a baby together. So we promote a lot of that. We do also some couple sessions where we, I give the men the opportunity to open up and to vent and to relate to one another. It's highly therapeutic to share with people who are in the same season in life. So I try to do that as well. Then also something we do as well, since we are all kind of like committed to optimizing our systems, we encourage like for them to cook together or for them to eat the same kind of foods. Because what doesn't work is that the female is kind of like always following the guidelines and the man is kind of like eating McDonald's on the couch, right? So we try to approach this as a team and all get excited together into let's do this together. Let's optimize ourselves together as a couple. And obviously you would see much better results. And sometimes I have pep talks with the men alone. Lately, I'm having a lot of private conversations about cannabis, weed, because there's so much cannabis consumption nowadays, and it's super detrimental to fertility and to sperm health. So lately, I'm having a lot of pep talks with the men on the side saying, come on, like, she's doing everything, and you're still with your edibles, or you're still smoking. Please come on board on this team, and... you know, the moment she gets pregnant, you're off the hook. But like, please, let's do this as a team. So sometimes I pull them on the side and give them a talk.
Well, that one, I do want to come back to, again, lifestyle stuff. But that one perhaps needs a bit more emphasis because not many people are aware of that, right? So now we've talked about communication, but we've also briefly touched on stress. And I want to tie it back to the nervous system because as you were sharing, the body is responding to a perceived threat and it's shutting down some of our normal functioning, right? Because it's prioritizing our ability to respond to whatever this threat might be. And stress can continue to put us in that fight or flight response. What role beyond the nervous system, and obviously that's a huge, huge function, but I feel like our nervous systems are hijacked in general. You were talking about the lifestyles we choose to live, whether it's exposing ourselves to certain media, whether it's sleep, But there's all these things we tend to do or engage in that can disrupt the nervous system. So that's a huge piece on its own. But what about stress and how does that, I mean, obviously getting pregnant is the first step, but then there's the in vitro development too, right? That is also important. And stress can have a significant impact on that too. So how do we focus on the stress piece? Because I feel like a lot of the stress, and this might be tough to hear for people, but it is self-induced in my experience and observation.
Correct. Yeah, this is a very touchy theme, and I'm glad we're having this conversation, but I will say it's very controversial because there's this idea, this topic, like this cliche of like, just relax and it will happen. And for people trying to get pregnant, this is very triggering. Like, you know, like it's irritating and I totally get it. There's some truth to that in the sense that when you're stressed, you're producing high levels of cortisol, okay? Cortisol is highly inflammatory to begin with, but also it's a hormone that communicates with other hormones and therefore disrupts other hormones. For example, if you have high levels of cortisol, we say cortisol is the thief of progesterone. Progesterone is a reproductive hormone that women need in the second part of the cycle, in the luteal phase, which is after ovulation. You need progesterone to build what we call your endometrium, your uterine lining, which will be responsible for nesting your embryo if you're going to get pregnant. So with low progesterone, you cannot get pregnant. Now, high levels of cortisol equal low progesterone or bumpy progesterone in your luteal phase. That is a massive problem. So that hormone that you are producing, and the problem is that you've normalized, in general society, I see that all the time, we have normalized incredibly high levels of cortisol to the point that if I ask women or people, hey, what are your stress levels from 1 to 10? People tell me I'm at a 5, and you're not at a 5. You're at a 9.5. You've normalized it. I have so many cases. I have an acrobat in Las Vegas. I always mention her in podcasts. She's beautifully pregnant now. She's 30 weeks pregnant. Beautiful, gorgeous. But when she started working with me, she was not menstruating because of two things. Number one, her body fat percentage was way too low. So her subconscious mind was like, there's no way we're going to create a new life here because we don't have enough bandwidth to stay alive. Number one. But number two, I had her track her stress levels with an Oura ring. You can track it with different devices. And her perception was like, I'm totally fine. The reality that we saw in the tracker was like super, super high cortisol levels 24/7. So we started putting together some tools to lower her cortisol levels, and the chart was beautiful. Like you could see it, you know, every time, you know, dropping and dropping and dropping. And then the combination of those two actions, she started menstruating, and then finally she got pregnant. But, you know, as cliche as it is, just relax and you'll get pregnant. There's truth to that. And even if you're not perceiving and you wouldn't call yourself a stress person, I can tell you, you are stressed no matter what, and you would highly benefit from engaging in tools and actions and practices that consistently lower your cortisol levels. And for that, we do yoga, we do meditations, we do different things, walks in nature, whatever, you know, everybody responds differently. But one of the things that I force, it's mandatory, all my clients to do is set an alarm every 2 hours, or your waking hours. And I want to see a screenshot of that. So they always have to send me proof. Every 2 hours, you have set an alarm. You stop what you're doing. You close your eyes. You put your hands on your belly and you take 5 long, deep breaths. That activates your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and digest, as opposed to your fight or flight. And that helps lower your base cortisol levels through the day. So it's not just the one yoga practice that I'm relying on, but it's something that it's totally in my control, which is breath, incredibly powerful.
Yes.
And we use breath to lower base cortisol levels through the day.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And to your point, it's not just simply about relaxing, it's about noticing the stress that you may have normalized and constantly working on that. I think in general, there's no harm in doing some of the things you're sharing. All of the things you're talking about are to help your nervous system, right? So just engaging in them daily is generally a good practice because it's going to help you in many ways. Now, we touched on it briefly, but you get pregnant, but your work isn't done, right? So would you say everything we've talked about so far is important to keep at the forefront and practicing, even though you may be pregnant, because there's still, you know, it's a marathon, right? And there's still a long ways to go.
Absolutely. So I always say what helps you get pregnant will help you stay pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very important that you keep all this through your pregnancy. There's so much research proving. The other day I was like, I'm having the chills thinking about it. I reviewed research. Not only, like, we know that mother stress during pregnancy will affect the embryo and will affect the baby, right? We know that. It's known. It's measured and measurable. Now, there's new research proving that father stress during pregnancy also affects the fetus. And it's quantifiable as well. Why? Because father affects mother, and also father affects the environment in which mother is during the development. So, yeah. So everything that helped a couple get pregnant needs to stay, and if not, you know, reinforced during pregnancy and obviously beyond, because once they're born, then they're like constantly, they're sponges absorbing absolutely everything.
Yeah. Well, and I would argue even after they're born, right? Like the stress levels need to be maintained because the environment is a huge contributor, right? So absolutely. Now, coming back to lifestyle, so there are some, I suppose, controversial topics out there. You touched on marijuana being one of them. I, again, want to emphasize that and perhaps even expand the discussion on that. But one of the other things I've heard more of over the last few years is birth control, right? And more so for women. What have you come across? What are your thoughts? I know you said in general, we're noticing in today's world, people tend to delay pregnancy, which then means they're perhaps using birth control. Everyone has a choice, right? But how is that affecting their chances later on?
So this varies wildly. For some women, they get off birth control. They are ovulating that same month or the following month, and nothing, no harm done or no apparent harm done. For some women, I've seen all the ranges. Like for some women, it has secondary effects for the rest of their life. So birth control is suppressing your ovaries from ovulating. Okay, so there's a signal that goes from your hypothalamus, your brain, to your ovaries. The hypothalamus, pituitary gland, and your ovaries. It's a triangle, HPA axis, we call it. And it's suppressed. So when you remove that suppression, sometimes what happens is that the body gets very confused. And now what? And sometimes it takes 2 months, 3 months, 4 months to kind of like get the gist of like, oh, now I'm supposed to work. Now I'm supposed to do my job. And sometimes it just doesn't do it. It just like you have to force it because it just doesn't get the memo of like, oh, now I'm supposed to work. Like it's confused and it kind of like forgets to do it, which is super sad because you spend your whole life trying to not get pregnant and hearing about all the things that, especially as a woman, like, you know, putting your body through a lot to not get pregnant. And then when you want to get pregnant, then you're faced with that and you're like, now what? It's super discouraging. There's a lot of ways, though, where we can encourage the ovaries to kind of like wake up and the axis to wake up. And that's what we do here. So once you bring your system to what we call homeostasis, homeostasis is the state in which you are in harmony and all your body functions are working properly and well and have a proper chance. So you're not in fight or flight. You're not only prioritizing your essential functions for survival, but you are actually allowing for your whole system to work well. That's when everything kind of like starts working. Like the axis wakes up, your ovaries start responding, your hormones start regulating, and we see like boom, 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 boom. I have a client now who's, I think she's 20 weeks pregnant. And when she started working with me, she was diagnosed with menopause. Like when she came to me, that was her diagnosis, premenopause. not menstruating at all, and thyroid problems, like a bunch of things. But one of the things that she had been on birth control for many, many years. In her case specifically, and I'm saying it's a case by case, but in her case specifically, putting her in homeostasis fixed everything. Everything. Her ovaries started reacting. Her axis woke up. Her thyroid started getting regulated. She got pregnant so quickly. Like, she's just one of my miracle babies. And now, last week, I touched base with her, and she sent me her thyroid labs. Like, we've gone off medication for thyroid. And her thyroid has self-regulated during the pregnancy. So in this case specifically, she put herself in homeostasis. She got pregnant. Now her pregnancy is in turn keeping her healthy and keeping her thyroid healthy, which is one of these miracles in life.
Yeah, yeah. But as you're saying, it is case by case, but there's that risk, right, that you're taking that you may be impacted if you were to get off birth control.
Yes. So
you don't know that beforehand, right?
That the takeaway message is that we go on birth control not thinking that there could be ever any problem or any consequence to that. And, you know, like, I was on birth control for many years as well, not thinking, what am I doing to myself? What is this actually doing to my body? You just have no knowledge. So I would like, my takeaway would be, educate yourself before going on any drug, including hormones. Because you are suppressing a body function that could be seen as something that's not, you know, that's light, that's not impactful, but actually it could give you side effects for the rest of your life. And you don't know until you are on the other side of this dealing with the consequences, because it's so bio-individual.
Yes, yes. So having a bit more of a long-term thinking, if possible. And I just want to bring back the conversation around marijuana, because I personally, I feel like it doesn't get enough emphasis, or it's not talked about as much when it comes to fertility. I don't want to get into why, but what are your thoughts around the fact that you're having to educate men, which is part of, I suppose, your role, but the fact that they're not aware of this?
Well, it's very unpopular. I always start by saying, don't kill the messenger. Because I'm not the person that came up with this, you know, I'm just relaying what research says. And research is very, very clear on that, unfortunately, that cannabis consumption has a correlation with morphology problems. So morphology is the shape of the sperm. And the good news, however, is that when you stop cannabis, sperm regenerates really fast. Like, I only need three months to optimize sperm quality. I need 4 months at least to optimize egg quality. It's a lot more difficult. Why? Because sperm regenerates all the time. So that's the good news. Like, if you stop it, we have a true, like, we have a solid chance within 3 months to get your swimmers really fit. But there is a very clear correlation with morphology problems. So, you know, if a couple has never gotten tested and you guys are with, you know, smokers or edibles and things like that, look into that and don't kill the messenger.
Right, right. But just, again, this ties back to the lifestyle choices and healthy as we can define it. That can be very subjective too, but trying to just make more mindful choices around what you're putting into your body, right? Essentially, so what you're consuming.
That's exactly what we do. So what we do here is, hey, we make, I think I read somewhere, like, close to 90,000 micro decisions every day. And at every micro decision, you are at a crossroads and you have different options. And what we are doing here is bringing awareness to those moments of saying, hey, you know, instead of just going with, you know, just going with the motions, just, like, you know, take a minute or two or a few seconds to be aware of, like, this decision that I'm about to make, is this getting me closer to my goals or is this holding me back? That's what we're doing for all the micro decisions you make. If you start living life with that extra layer of awareness, it's highly transformational, because it's the compounding effect of many decisions. Instead of taking the wrong decision, make the right decision. So that's highly transformative. Also, we have the 80-20 rule. Like, with this awareness that I'm having, that doesn't mean that every single time I'm going to, you know, pick the right decision, or that I'm every single time I'm going to quote unquote sacrifice myself or like make the effort. Like, I know what's up and I'm going to make a fully informed decision. 80% of the time, I'm going to be following the guidelines, and 20% of the time, I'm going to let loose and just enjoy life as well. Because this is not about removing life to your life from your life. It's about adding life to your life.
Right. Yeah. Not being so rigid either, because that can bring other things in to the equation for sure. Now, what about IVF, right? So it's obviously become a lot more common, but as I touched on earlier, that can also be a source of stress. It may not be feasible just because it's costly for everyone. So how do people navigate that, right? Like, obviously you have to take into consideration what your financial situation is. So how do you get around that piece? And then a lot of people I talk to then grapple with the whole adoption thing, right? And for various reasons, but some people get around to that as well. So is that something you help people navigate as well?
Yeah. So here we navigate all avenues. I will say from my clients, probably 60 or 70% get pregnant naturally and the remainder go through treatments. But the way we do this is that before we optimize the foundation, we optimize the system so that if at the end you want to proceed with a treatment, at least you're fully optimized and you have a much higher chance of success. Like if you go into IVF without preparation, your success expectation is between 20 and 30%. If you go to IVF prepared and having done the work, it's about 85%. So if you're going to go through that, which is highly invasive and incredibly expensive, then at least optimize your chances. IVF can be an incredible tool. I'm not anti-IVF, even though I'm labeled to be. I'm not. Many babies are here because of IVF. And my only thing is 50% of IVF cases are not needed. Why? Because I always use the analogy of a car. Like if your car doesn't start, say your motor is not working, you take it to the mechanic and they will jumpstart the battery. Okay, IVF is that. It's purely jumpstarting your battery and creating a ton of embryos and hoping and praying for the better. What I do is I open up the motor, I review, I clean up the different parts. If something needs to be changed, we change it. If something needs to be optimized, we optimize it so that the motor will run naturally. And that not only will run this time, but if you want multiple children, you'll be optimized forever. And you walk out of here with a toolbox that will help you get into homeostasis whenever you want. So I always say IVF can create embryos, but it doesn't automatically optimize the environment those embryos are developing in.
Right.
And also it will not optimize egg quality or sperm quality. Right? Like it will only retrieve your eggs. They will create an embryo in the lab. But the quality of those eggs, you need to work on that with your lifestyle.
So what I'm hearing from you is before going down the IVF route, there's other things you can do to improve your chances of getting pregnant naturally, which can be perceived as you're sharing that, oh, she's pushing against, or she's perhaps suggesting don't go IVF, right? But you're saying, no, make sure you exhaust all your options. Now, what if people are like, well, no, I'm on a kind of a time crunch and I don't want to, I just want to make sure I get pregnant, right? So that's again, a personal choice, but you're kind of saying, well, sure, you can do that, but just make sure you still have other options. Is that kind of the way the conversation goes?
So I meet them where they are. I always say you are the pilot of your journey. I'm only stepping in as your co-pilot. You're going to make your choices and I'm just going to be here making suggestions and guiding you. If and that happens a lot. Like a person tells me, I have a deadline. Like in August, I'm having my first retrieval. What can we do from now to August? There's a ton of things we can do to optimize your chances. So let's get to work and, you know, and let's optimize your system. Let's put you in homeostasis so that you retrieve the best quality, the best possible eggs with the best quality, like the best sperm with the best quality, and that we optimize the environment so that once the embryos are created and ready to be what we call it transferred, that your body accepts the embryo and starts a pregnancy and follows through with a pregnancy until full term.
Right. Yeah. Fair enough. And I just want to make sure we touched on everything. There was the three-step solution you had talked about. Did we touch on that, or do you want to perhaps put it all together? I know we touched on so many things.
I know. So the three steps is, I am known for a three-step system. So my project, my program is called the Fertility Solution. And within that, I'm known for my signature three-step system that my clients follow in order to get into homeostasis and get pregnant naturally. And I'm happy to share those three steps because I don't want to gatekeep anything. I want to help everyone who has a vocation to be a parent. Whether you work with me or not, I want to help you. So the three steps are detox, nourish, and flow. So detox, what we do here is we remove the obstacles. We remove what's in the way. Okay, so we reduce inflammation, we remove all the obstacles, and we identify hidden stressors, things that you're doing in your daily life that are not working for you. Step two is nourish, which is increased nutritional density in everything that you do, not just what you eat, but everything, like all these micro decisions that you're making every single day. Increase, so do the things that are good for you. Do more of the things that are good for you. That in turn supports your hormones and regulates your nervous system as well. And then flow is the personalization of all of this because of the principle of bio-individuality, which means that everyone's very different. What worked for your mom, what worked for your cousin is not necessarily what's going to work for you. So we need to find your version of this so that this is not only something that's effective, but also sustainable so that you know, you can stay with this program or with this lifestyle for the rest of your life. And that you walk out of here with a toolbox that is personalized to you. And that's a toolbox that you're keeping with you and that's sharp to go every time you need to call up on the best version of yourself. Because today's fertility, tomorrow it will be something else. Life will throw a lot of challenges at you. So the goal isn't perfection. The goal is creating the conditions where the body can do what it is designed to do.
Yeah, no, I love that. Well, definitely, obviously, we'll have all of that information. But Sonia, thank you so much for this conversation and educating all of us, including myself. But for listeners that want to learn more about your work, I know you've offered your signature method, but what are some ways people can find you and if they wanted to reach out to you, how can they do that?
So the step one that I would recommend if you're interested in this three-step system and to understand more is I have a very good 30-minute video. It's my free fertility masterclass. I promise it's worth your time if you're trying to get pregnant. And I walk through the exact three-step process that my clients take to optimize fertility naturally so that if you work with me, great. But if you don't, you still have that knowledge to truly optimize your chances. You can find it at thefertilitysolution.com. That would be the way. I also have a ton of free resources on Instagram. And my Instagram is Sonia Rivas Coach. One word.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we'll put all of that in the show notes. But thank you again, Sonia. I really enjoyed this conversation. As I said right at the beginning, it is something I see a lot. People are navigating. And at times it can be alone. You feel alone, right? Even if you're a couple, sometimes the individuals feel alone in that journey, or sometimes they feel alone as a couple. Meanwhile, they're seeing other people conceiving and having children. So it is a tough place. And a lot of people, like I said, are navigating this. So I hope this helps, helps in the sense of understanding what are some things they can do differently. So yeah.
Thank you so much. I love talking about fertility. I could do this for hours on end, and thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you for checking out this episode with Sonia. As always, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. That's the best and easiest way to support this podcast. And on Apple and Spotify, you can leave up to a 5-star review. Please check out the sponsors in the description, as well as the Easy Reflections newsletter, a zero-cost newsletter that goes out weekly where I explore different mental health topics and provide practical tips and insights for the reader to apply in their lives. The link to the newsletter can be found in the show note captions where you can subscribe directly. Thank you again, and until next time.